Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Les Enfants Terribles by Jean Cocteau, beginning at page 1. That portion of old Paris known as the Cité Montier is bounded on one side by the Rue de Clichy, on the other by the Rue d'Amsterdam. Should you choose to approach it from the Rue de Clichy, you would come to a pair of wrought iron gates, but if you were to come by way of the Rue d'Amsterdam, you would reach another entrance, open day and night, and giving access first to a block of tenements, and then to the courtyard proper, an oblong court containing a row of small private dwellings secretively disposed beneath the flat, towering walls of the structure. Clearly, these little houses must be the abode of artists. The windows are blind, covered with photographers' drapes, but it is comparatively easy to guess what they conceal. Rooms chock-a-block with weapons and lengths of brocade, with canvases depicting basketfuls of cats or the families of Bolivian diplomats. Here dwells the master, illustrious, unacknowledged, well-nigh prostrated by the weight of his public honours and commissions, with all this dumb provincial stronghold to seal him from disturbance. Twice a day, however, at 10:30 in the morning and 4:00 in the afternoon, the silence is shattered by a sound of tumult. The doors of the little Lycée Condorette, opposite number 72B, Rue d'Amsterdam, open, and a horde of schoolboys emerges to occupy the cité and set up their headquarters. Thus it has reassumed a sort of medieval character, something in the nature of a court of love, a wonder fair, an athlete's stadium, a stamp exchange, also a gangster's tribune come place of execution, also a breeding ground for rags, rags to be hatched out finally in class, after long incubation, before the incredulous eyes of the authorities. Terrors they are, these lads, and no mistake, the terrors of the fifth. A year from now, having become the fourth, they will have shaken the dust of the Rue d'Amsterdam from their shoes and swaggered into the Rue Caumartin with their four books bound with a strap and a square of felt in lieu of a satchel. But now they are the fifth, where the tenebrous instincts of childhood still predominate. Animal, vegetable instincts, almost indefinable because they operate in regions below conscious memory and vanish without trace. Like some of childhood's griefs, and also because children stop talking when grown-ups draw nigh. They stop talking, they take on the aspect of beings of a different order of creation, conjuring themselves at will an instantaneous coat of bristles, or assuming the bland passivity of some form of plant life. Their rites are obscure, inexorably secret, calling, we know, for infinite cunning, for ordeal by fear and torture, requiring victims, summary executions, human sacrifices. The particular mysteries are impenetrable. The faithful speak a cryptic tongue. Even if we were to chance to overhear unseen, we would be none the wiser. Their trade is all in postage stamps and marbles. Their tribute goes to swell the pockets of the demigods and leaders. The mutter of conspiracy is shrouded in a deafening din. Should one of that tribe of prosperous, hermetically preserved artists happen to pull the cord that works those drapes across his window, I doubt if the spectacle thereby revealed to him would strike him as copy for any of his favourite subjects. Nothing he could use to make a pretty picture with a title such as Little Black Sweeps at Play in a White World, or Hot Cockles, or Merry Wee Rascals. Here ends the reading. Have a very good day.